Hello, Marion Pallister, Vice Chair of Justice and Peace Scotland here. As the COVID situation continues here and around the world, I've been thinking about how those two words, justice and peace, are so important to society's well-being. It seemed ironic that on the anniversary of the day that Guy Fawkes attempted to blow up the Houses of Parliament in 1605, that failed conspiracy by a group of provincial English Catholics to assassinate the Protestant King James I of England, 6th of Scotland, so they could replace him with a Catholic head of state, Donald Trump attempted to overthrow the democratic system of the United States. Neither Guy Fawkes nor Mr. Trump went the right way about achieving either justice or peace. On December the 10th, there is a much better day to commemorate, indeed to celebrate, the United Nations International Human Rights Day, which this year is focusing on how rights are the beginning of peace within societies and a way to create a fairer society for future generations. And we can't let the day go by without taking some sort of action, even if it's just to note it on social media, because this is a day that reminds us we must work to end discrimination in all its forms. Human rights are universal, as Pope Francis stresses in his wonderful Fratelli Tutti encyclical. Each one of us should be treated equally and with respect. No one should be discriminated against because of their gender, their race, the colour of their skin, their sexual orientation, their religion, or the country in which they were born. Of course, hard as it sometimes seems, that means the racist and the terrorist have the same human rights as, for instance, the woman who embraces her neighbour who fled to Scotland from war-torn Syria, or the footballer who stands up for the poorest of our children. And I suppose that has to make us wonder what creates the racist or the terrorist, the religious bigot and the homophobic diehard, because we are not born with hate in our hearts. Not one of us is created seeking to make life hell for another individual, or indeed a whole sector of society or a whole nation. I've seen some beautiful photographs and video clips on social media of children of different races playing together, caring for each other's comfort and well-being, loving each other. When and how and why do adults start planting the seeds of injustice that change those lovely relationships? I'm sure we've all been touched by the stories of the victims of injustice. We saw a lot of Pudsey Bear from the start of this month, leading up to the Children in Need TV extravaganza. Well, kids whose lives are blighted for a whole raft of reasons are suffering from society's inability to deliver justice. Simple as that. And that means their peace of mind and possibly their physical peace are also at risk. I was looking at some teaching materials that the UN has produced for schools for Human Rights Day, and the questions are really thought-provoking. An interesting one reads, "When do you need your human rights to start?" Well, 9-year-old Anita, 6-year-old Armin, and wee Artin, just 15 months old from Sardasht in western Iran, needed their human rights to have started some time before they were born into a harsh regime that behaves unjustly to its Kurdish citizens. Their mum and dad tried to take them somewhere where their human rights would be recognised, and they lost their lives in the English Channel. Injustice back home, and in France and the UK, the policy on migrants is harsh and less than just. Our October Zoom conversation on migrants and our European representative Grace Buckley's blog earlier this month underscored just how hostile we are to migrants, how little attention is paid to their human rights. Another question aimed at school children, and one that I found pretty difficult, is why are there still people whose human rights are not respected? Pope Francis's encyclical Fratelli Tutti puts out a few pointers. We live in a society, His Holiness suggests, where there is greed, individualism and popularism, all contributing to a mindset that ignores the Catholic Church's preferential option for the poor. The richest 1% that owns 44% of the world's wealth seems to have little concern for the human rights of the 56.6% of the world's population that holds less than 2% of the global wealth. In fact, the fewer human rights that the 56.6% are granted, the better, as far as the billionaires are concerned. How are you going to increase your billions if you have to allow children to go to school instead of digging out the uranium and other minerals that make you richer than Croesus? It really helped me to see what all these statistics mean when a friend in Stornoway sent me the link to a video on YouTube in which the Amazon boss Jeff Bezos's wealth was measured in grains of rice and compared with the average wealth of the world's poorest. Now, if you Google something that says viral TikTok uses rice to show how rich Jeff Bezos is, you'll find it. It's worthwhile looking. Suffice to say, it took 58 pounds of rice, 58 pounds of rice, to show the extent of his wealth. The rice was shared with 5 poor families, so none went to waste in the experiment. The measly couple of grains that represented poor people's incomes, compared with the real mountain of rice that equated with his, spoke volumes about the human rights and lack of respect. What about this Human Rights Day question that says, how would you feel if your right to be educated was removed? This is a question to children. And of course, during COVID, the education of children in Scotland has been disrupted and we've been rightly concerned. The children themselves were desperate to get back to school at the end of the first lockdown. However, the UN says there are no schools for 57 million children worldwide, physically no school to attend. And that's shocking enough, but the Malala Fund, remember Malala, the girl who was shot for encouraging girls in Pakistan to go to school? The Malala Fund says that there are 130 million girls who don't receive an education because of child labour, early marriage, conflict, cost, gender bias, health, natural disasters, or simply because they live in a refugee camp and the schooling isn't adequate. We know the advantages of girls' education. Educated girls go on to contribute to their economies. They are healthier and raise healthier children. Their input helps to make their communities more stable. The list goes on and on. The charity I set up to support education in a poor area of Zambia pays secondary school fees for a number of girls whose families are unable to send them to school. Seeing the difference in the girls' feelings of self-worth develop, let alone any other advantages, is immensely moving. And I can bear witness to all those plus points achieved when the UN's 5th Sustainable Development Goal, gender equality, and 4th Sustainable Development Goal, quality education, are achieved. Can we make sure every child has not just the right to education, but also access to education by 2030? It's something Justice and Peace Scotland believes is worth fighting. And of course, the Commission's answer to the question, do you think that everyone deserves the same rights, is a resounding, of course. Even when someone fires off rounds of ammunition at total strangers, we have to ask ourselves, what rights did that person feel they didn't have? Catholic social teaching makes the dignity of the human person its focal point. It asks us to be responsible for the common good, to fulfil our obligations to promote the rights and development of peoples, communities and nations, and to act in solidarity with our fellow human beings, our brothers and sisters. We are reminded that the rich have responsibilities for the poor, and that national and international structures must reflect this. In relation to the December the 10th International Human Rights Day, one sentence under the heading Option for the Poor on the Catholic Social Teaching website sticks in my mind. It reads, fidelity to Christ means seeing him in all the faces of suffering and wounded people. People suffer and feel wounded because they come from a different place or culture and are made to feel different. They believe something different to the people around them and are made aware of that in bullying or exclusion. And as this COVID situation continues, more and more people suffer and feel wounded because of their work or employment situation. So many people who've always been in secure employment now find themselves trying to work through the maze of the benefits system or queuing at a food bank. They may not be thinking in terms of their human rights, but their human rights in each case are challenged, and our response to their situation is also challenged. Catholic social teaching and the UN's rulings on human rights, of course, coincide. The Church doesn't have a monopoly on trying to make this a better world for every one of its citizens. And I think that the children who are asked the human rights questions in schools, of all faiths and none, will have no difficulty in answering the one that says, do you think that people all over the world feel fairly treated? Children and young people have such strong feelings about fairness, and they can see the evidence daily that not all people around the world can feel fairly treated, even if a lot of that evidence comes from watching Pudsey Bear. But which human right is the most important? Gosh, that's a question and a half. Christians will immediately think of Matthew 22:36-40, when the Pharisee asked which is the greatest commandment in the law. And of course, Jesus replies, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbour as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Judaism, Christianity and Islam all teach the importance of loving God and loving your neighbour, because all three religions stem from the same core. Loving our neighbours is ensuring their dignity, their human rights, their access to justice and to peace, not just for December the 10th, but every day, year round. So have a happy International Human Rights Day, and I'd like to finish off with part of a prayer for that day by Rabbi Brant Rosen, which says, guide us towards one law, one justice, one human standard of behaviour towards all. Move us away from the equivocation that honours the divine image in some but not in others. Let us forever affirm that the justice we purport to hold dear is nothing but a sham if it does not uphold the value of kvod habriot, basic human dignity for all who dwell in our midst. Thank you for listening.